Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
You
know what day it is? I know what day it is. There's a lot of uh-ohs out there right now. I'm just saying that might be the U.S. men's national team.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Maybe
anybody? Mike.
Hump
what day
day
is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Save it, hump boy.
I know it's hump boy, and I'm not going to save it, hump boy. I'm not. I'll be your hump boy. But I'm not going to save it, all right? It is an eclectic hump day in a doghouse. Lots of ground to cover today, including hooking you up with your final chance. Unless they extend this thing, as far as I know right now, this is your final chance to win $1,000 right now by texting the word cheer, as in, oh, look at the good cheer that the big dog brings to the show. Cheer, that's C-H-E-E-R, cheer. Text that right now to 62582. Not to me, but to 62582 for your chance to win $1,000. While you guys are doing that, let me tell you this. We got a full helping of football talk for you today, as always. Plus, we got some NASCAR in here. Plus, we've got some baseball. There's two games today, including Cubs trying to close out the Nats at Wrigley Field in a game that starts in about an hour. And then tonight in Cleveland, a deciding game five between the Yanks and the Indians, CC Sabathia v. Corey Kluber with a trip to Houston on Friday on the line. I got to admit, man, I'm pretty stoked about that one. I mean, it's got me jammed up a little bit. I'm a little bit jammed up about that. I mean, it's not like there's a football game tonight, right? It's not like there's some monument. I'm pretty jammed up tonight for CC versus Corey Kluber. In the Cubs-Nats game, due to the rainout yesterday, Steven Strasburg is now on the bump for Washington. Jake Arrieta goes for the Cubs as planned. Plus, the Cubs, though, are sitting Kyle Schwarber for former Brave Jason Hayward versus Strasburg. Also in Boston, the Red Sox have let John Farrell go. The managerial search is on there. Now, before I get any further, I got to squeeze a little soccer in here. All right, as the U.S. failed to qualify for the World Cup, and I know that this is going to be very unpopular, what I've got this. The fact I'm even talking about this is going to be unpopular. I could lose my show over this, but I'm just going to go there because I'm going there. The U.S. failed to qualify for the World Cup following a 2-1 loss to Trinidad and Tobago. Honduras defeated Mexico, and Panama top Costa Rica 2-1, thanks to a goal less than 2 minutes to go in the game. The only problem there is was that Panama's first goal never went in. But as always, the call was epic.
A cobrar nuevamente. Los aviones están en el vuelo, Roma.
No.
Gol. Vamos, regresen con la pelota a celebrar. Gol, vamos. Pongan esa pelota en el centro. Pongan esa pelota en el centro.
¡De
Pongan esa pelota en el centro.
¡Gol!
apparently goal is the same in English as it is in Spanish. The only problem with that is that the ball didn't go in the net. I mean, of course, there's no replay. There's no goal line technology. You can't look at it at the NHL Command Center in Toronto because it's a friggin' third world sport played by third world countries. I mean, it wasn't even close. It wasn't like it was over the line. And as it turned out, the entire ball didn't go over the line. It wasn't even close. The shot hit the post. And then it went over the end line. Not the goal line, the end line. Now, I know it's hard to score in that sport. I get that. But you can't give them a goal just because the ball hit the post. But enough of that. We got beat by Trinidad and Tobago. A couple of pissant islands off the coast of South America with 1.3 million people. They would be the smallest state in America. They got less people than Nashville, for crying out loud. We need to just stop this. We need to stop pretending that we can play this asinine sport where you can't even use your hands, which, by the way, is un-American. Soccer has been around for many centuries before America was founded. Back when kids used to kick a goat's skull around some dirt field in some dirt poor land. Then America happened, and we fixed the game. We picked the ball up. We started throwing it around a little bit. We organized the two sides. You guys on that side, we're on this side. We came up with some plays and stuff. Had a huddle. Fixed the scoring. Like everything else, we made it better, while the rest of the world continued to kick the skull around. So why are we trying to revert to playing a sport that some ridiculous island country with two names can beat us? We play football, basketball, baseball. How we can even win gold in hockey once in a while. But not this sport. 32 countries make the World Cup, and we're not in. Anything that we cannot be in the top 32 in the world, then we should not be doing, period. This is a colossal waste of money. I say no more. Just stop it. Let the kids play it in gym class, like dodgeball or kickball or, I don't know, crab soccer. You know that thing with the ginormous ball? But you know what? When gym class is over, enough already. There, I said it. I said it. Now, we're going to move on. I said it. You want to kill me? Kill me. This isn't have to be the, you know, I've told you guys time and time again, you don't have to agree with me. I posted it at the Facebook, my personal Facebook page is where I posted it. And quite frankly, I'm getting crushed by several people. I'm getting crushed. If you want to jump in, jump in. I'll read the comments. But the first one was the obligatory, how many of your boys played soccer growing up? To which I responded to Chris with, none. Baseball, football, basketball. Which he responded to, exactly. You're bitching, but your ignorant mindset is part of the problem. How am I ignorant? What am I ignorant about? We suck at this sport. We've always sucked at this sport. Our best athletes won't play it. It's not our sport. I'm not ignorant. Just looking at the scoreboard. Scoreboard! Would we be good if Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson and LeBron James was our goalie and Dwayne Wade was a soccer player and Bryce Harper and Mike Trout were on the, you know, were halfbacks and Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Aaron Judge was a goalie and you couldn't get it past the guy because he's 6 foot eight. Were we good? Yeah, we'd be good. But you know what? They don't want to play the game. They don't want to play this game. It's not our game. Don't want to play it. Not our game. There. It's been said. Have at it. Go ahead. Kicking things off today with Anthony Herron of the Pac-12 Network, unless T-Mac tells me otherwise. In the three, SB Nation MLB insider Chris Cotillo is back. We'll set up the big day in the MLB playoffs. Then David Moulton from SiriusXM's ESPNU channel and the SEC on CBS will join us. He'll be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana for Auburn and LSU. In the four, Jordan Bianchi, he handles NASCAR for SB Nation. He's back to set up the second round of NASCAR playoffs. If you got an idea what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll-free 866-485-9867. We also have an entire digital doghouse for you as well. That's our Twitter feed, at Tom Abraham Show. Throw us a follow there. Facebook fan page, throw us a like at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show. If you want to see my soccer comments, you'd have to go to my personal Facebook page. Then there's the, which is, you know, just, I guess you just search Tom Abraham, right? Maybe you have to friend me. I don't know. I think you can just read it, can't you? Maybe. And there's the text window as well, 7329-TA-SHOW, 732-982-7469. Doghouse inbox is open, tom@tomabraham.com. That cat over there, oh, I think he's probably very upset with me now. He probably loves him some soccer. He's playing his stacks of wax and the platters that matter, answering the phones, pushing the buttons, making sure that we stay on air in our ump studios. He's one part Italian. He's one part Mexican. He's a Sooner caught in SEC country. According to his driver's license, it says Antonio Macbeth. But to us, he's simply Tony Mack.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
The guy's an intern.
You don't ever say that to me, bullcrap.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wok, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
You can act like a man.
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? Old times.
You ask a question every week that I don't know anything about.
I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to choose my words very carefully. I think you're a psycho.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
Say hello to my little friend.
Hey, T-Mac, how you doing today?
Big Dog, I'm fantastic. I'm not going to lie to you. As far as the whole soccer comment goes, I got to be honest. It's something I've been trying to give a try. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily go out of my way. It's one of those things where the only time I ever pay attention to soccer is when it has to do with the U.S. national team. That's it. And even then, I'm a struggle. I don't know when they play. I have a friend that's heavily, heavily into it, and he usually will text our group and about what's going on, and I'll flip over and keep an eye on it. And the only reason I think it sucks so much that they didn't make the World Cup is because of the exposure. You can just go ahead and write it off. I'm probably never going to get into the sport like I am any other sport. I think it's going to kill that for a lot of kids, you know what I mean? Because, like you mentioned, your kids didn't play it, but there are kids who do play it, and when they get to 13,
let them play it.
Well, when they
let
get
them
to
play
like,
it, but they play it, and then they move on to, you know, real games. You know, I mean, let them play it. The thing is, in Russia, the World Cup, nobody's going to watch it in America now. I mean, relatively speaking, the soccer heads will watch it. You know, the elitists will watch it, but they'll it's in the middle of the night or tape delayed, so we're not going to be able to see it. But it's there's no return for the massive amount of money that we put into U.S. soccer. There's no return. It's so far down the list on what our people want to do. Chick soccer? Fine. Chick soccer is one of the best thing we do for women's sports. Okay? Because they don't really have football. They got the WNBA and chick soccer. That's basically it. There's really nothing for them to do in baseball. They have that little softball league nobody pays attention to or goes into that thing. It's something that we're good in at, but we're no good in it. And it's not even, my argument has always been, look, our best athletes, which I just made that kind of case. Can you imagine how we would be if LeBron James was a goalie? And if, you know, if Adrian Peterson grew up as an attacker, and I don't know, if Odell Beckham Jr. was a soccer player and focused his entire career on soccer, and some of the hockey players who did play soccer as youth, but some of the American hockey players, and they decided they wanted to be soccer players. I've always made that argument, but T-Mac, we're a country of 323 million people. How many play in the NFL? 1,400? I think there's 1,400 NFL, but 1,400 plus, you know, how many play in? If you add up the four major sports, what's that skim off? 4,500 players? 4,000? Maybe 4,000 U.S. men that are playing either in the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, or Major League Baseball. 4,000? 5,000? Trinidad and Tobago is, I would say, the size of Connecticut, but Connecticut's much bigger than Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, we're one of the smallest states with 4.5 million people. They're a country that has 1.3 million people. And they came up with 11 dudes that beat us in this game. What are we doing, man? Why? What are we doing?
Yeah, see, back to what you were talking about is how our best athletes, they don't play the sport. And that goes to my whole point is the USA not being in the World Cup definitely damages any chance we had at decent athletes playing. I mean, there was a stud, an absolute stud in that game last night who scored the only goal for the U.S., Christian Pulisic, who's like 19 years old, 19, 20 years old, something like that. And he won't get to experience a World Cup until he's 24, 25 years old. U.S. won't get that kind of exposure on the big stage and show what that kid can do. And that'll probably be that. He might be the best athlete we'll ever get to play because the kid's a freaking stud.
How do we know?
They'll never advance from that. They'll never move on.
Yeah, I mean, but how do we know, really? I mean, how do we know? Because we've had, that's what they said about a lot of guys that have come and gone. That's what they said about Clint Dempsey. And that's what they said about, you know, all of these other guys that have come through. And, you know, the Adu kid, he was going to change soccer in America. You know how long I've been listening to this crap? And people are like, well, it's about the development at the youth level, and we're not developing them at a younger level. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I've been hearing this crap for 40 years. When Pele came over to play for the New York Cosmos in front of 75,000 people when I was 14 years old in like 1975, they said, oh, soccer's taking off in America. Taking what off? Jason May said, we just need new leadership that focus on youth development just like other sports. There is a place for it here. Will it be as popular as football and basketball? Of course not. Anything representing a country in sports needs to be held to a high standard. They've been talking about this for 40 years. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. 40 years later, we can't make the top 32. Ain't going to happen. But go ahead and crucify me.
No, I'm with you. I agree with you 100%. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, like you've mentioned over and over again, these younger kids, when they're younger, they get involved in soccer, but their aspirations, the best athletes, their aspirations are to play football, baseball, basketball. We're never going to have our best athletes, a group of our best athletes, want to go play soccer. It's just not going to happen. Our best athletes, we have probably the best athletes in the world. They're just not playing soccer. That's how it is.
But I'm not going with that anymore. Not with 323 million people. That isn't it. I'm not going with that anymore. I don't care. That's like I said, you take the 5,000 best athletes we got off the top, we should have enough left over to beat a damn resort town, okay? We should have enough left over to beat some of these countries that are playing this frigging game. Well, give me your Manoush. I need my blood pressure is climbing now. Give me a little.
All right. I'm going to start at 1925 with the New York Giants. They're playing in their inaugural NFL season. And they on this day, they lost their very first NFL game, 14-0 to Providence. So, yeah.
Providence was they were a powerhouse in the NFL.
1925, they were the real deal. 1977, we're skipping 50 years here. Joe Namath plays his final NFL game, and he threw four interceptions in this game.
For the L.A. Rams, right?
For the L.A. Rams, you're exactly right. He was a Ram for four games.
Yeah.
1980, the Dallas Mavericks played their first game at Reunion Arena, and they were able to take down the San Antonio Spurs 103-92. And in 1992, I know you've referenced this in passing a few times on this show, Deion Sanders on this day plays for the Atlanta Falcons and then turned around and played for the Atlanta Braves on the same day. Impressive. My God, that's impressive. And a couple birthdays.
And by the way, not for nothing, that was not just, hey, going to go play for a game, you know, where everybody's doing hit and giggle, 40-man call-up thing. That was a playoff game for the Braves.
Yeah.
Played in a playoff game for the Braves.
Absolutely. Reference the time of year. It's October. You're exactly right. A couple big birthdays today, and I mean big birthdays. 1961, Steve Young was born. 56 years old, Steve Young is today.
Yeah.
And in 1930, he passed away in this past December. He would have been 87 years old today, but it's Lavelle Edwards.
Ah.
Legendary coach at BYU, coached from 1972 to the year 2000. Well, that's about 28, 29 years. That's more than the Browns quarterbacks have had from 99 to now. So that's impressive. 257, 101-3 was his record at BYU.
Yeah. Won a national championship in 1984.
Coach Ty Detmer to a Heisman.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get Wolverine Dan in here quick. Wolverine Dan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Are we talking playoffs? Playoffs?
Playoffs? Not the playoffs? Yeah, playoffs.
Hey, listen. I tell you, brother, check this out. Now, you know, you watch those games in soccer, and how about the times where the guys, they think they got really close to the other player, and they fall down like they got hit or something,
gosh.
And they're hurt? How about that? That alone right there. Disqualifies the sport.
Yeah, I mean, the flopping in soccer is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, these guys go down like they were shot from the crowd. Then they carry him off on a stretcher while the game goes on. They just, you know, they keep playing, carry the guy off. He gets off the stretcher. They played short a man because it doesn't matter. The field is the size of you know, a small country. And, you know, it doesn't matter. They just run around for a while. And then the guy goes back in the game. I mean, come on. And then the clock just keeps running. And then at the end, they just arbitrarily add a couple of minutes. Hey, let's put 2 minutes more on the clock. Why not? Okay, why not?
Now here's the deal. If you might want to soup it up a little bit to get my interest, extend the field all the way to the boards where the first row of seats, and then start checking like hockey. Okay, if you could do that a little bit.
Freeze
that
the field.
Be so bad, Tom. What do you think?
I think freeze the field, put some boards up, and you know, you ever watch indoor soccer? Actually, indoor soccer is quite entertaining. But you know, again, it's a minor sport, and that's how we should think about soccer, and that's how we should think about the MLS, to be honest with you, because MLS is a joke. People don't understand how bad the soccer is in the MLS. My friend, I got a son that's a Welshman, you know, or a son-in-law that's a Welshman, and he'll tell you that, look, MLS is like double A baseball, maybe single A, maybe double A. MLS teams would get destroyed if they played in Europe.
Well, all right, you know, do me a favor, okay, because you sound really stressed out. Why don't you take a nice swing of that cup of coffee that's right in front of you, light up a Marlboro, and kick back a little bit.
Yeah, I've already crushed my second cup of coffee. Thanks for the call, Wolverine. I appreciate it. I crushed my second cup of coffee and don't smoke, so unless I'm on fire, then I might smoke. Okay, well, this is out there. If you want to react, you can react. Coming up next, though, we're going to get our football on, you know, our American football on. With the one and only Anthony Heron. He's coming up right here at 7:30, 103.9. The Home. Going to the city. Got you on my mind. Country sure is pretty. Gina Master hit the text window. off my soccer take. He says, not enough scoring. I've been saying it for years. Midget goalies. Is that the answer? Is that the answer, midget goalies? Win by one goal, okay. Win by two, it's a blowout. Win by three, there's a league inquiry. Oh, gosh. Look, I knew I was going to get killed. Look, Josh Bean, I got great respect for Josh Bean. God, man, I love the guy. He hit the Facebook page with, this is the dumbest thing I've read on the internet today by a long shot. I replied to him, I'm known for that. Look, see, Josh hasn't been around long enough to be a fan of the show long enough to know. This is a take that is always bubbling just below. I want it to be bad. Believe me, I don't want us to. I've done shows when the U.S. played Germany at 8 o'clock in the morning our time in 2002 or 3, whatever it was. I did a remote at a restaurant, a watch party, and had 80 people there. I want it to be better. But when this happens, it just bubbles up again. It just bubbles up again. I'm sorry. It does. Cliff Mitchell said, not surprised, our U.S. men's team gets knocked out even qualifying for the World Cup the same day that the Boy Scouts announced that they are now going to allow girls to join. Manhood is completely being irradiated from this country, and all lines are getting blurred by the likes of organizations like ESPN who honor people like Bruce Jenner. Real men that are real fathers have real courage and real patriots, and real leaders have real work ethic, feel real accountability. Our real husbands have real faith and are real spiritual leaders, and they're hard to find. From Cliff. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. T-Mac, were you ever a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout?
I was
a Girl Scout?
I was a Boy Scout when I was in the first grade once. I never stuck with it.
Well, that's not Boy Scouts. First grade would be you were a Cub Scout.
There you go. Yeah, Cubs.
I don't think you get to be a Boy Scout.
No, I wasn't a Boy Scout. I was a Cub Scout.
Yeah. You go from Boy Scouts to like Weebelos or Tenderfoot, whatever it is. And then you become a Boy Scout. Why are they going to allow boys into Girl Scouts? Did you see that story, by the way? Girls can now be Cub Scouts starting next year, and they can be into Boy Scouts and go for Eagle Scout. Well, what happened to the Girl Scouts? Are they going to have dudes in Girl Scouts? Man, I don't even want to go there. Don't get me started there. Big Al says soccer's a worthless sport. I'm not saying it's worthless, a little bit. He says soccer is the Tennessee Volunteers of sports. Hard to watch and not very exciting. John Boy Dewey Magoo posted a video, a GIF. Is it a GIF or a GIF? How do you say it? Is it a GIF? The thing that goes over and over again. He posted one of those, T-Mac, and I can't stop laughing at it. All right, joining us now, Anthony Herron, Big 12 Network. Does a tremendous job, played in the Big Ten. He's probably distraught that the U.S. did not make the World Cup. Big Ant, welcome to the show. How are you?
Big diggity. I was in the middle of a Mr. Mom moment there. Tony Mack and I were trying to connect on the line, and I just hopped out the shower. I got my new little one that's in the rocker, screaming, and I got
great,
the bathrobe on. It was like, who was in that movie, Mr. Mom? It wasn't Tom Hanks, was it?
No, it was Mr. Mom is the Batman
Michael
guy.
Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton who played Batman.
Yeah,
greatest line
out of Mr. Mom.
Yeah. Greatest line in that movie was when the electrician asks him if it's 110, and he says 110, 115, whatever it takes. You know what? On the deal, that was funny. All right, so When did the new baby finally come? We didn't have you last week because you were having a new baby. So when did the baby come?
New baby is 1 week old as of today. New baby arrived last Wednesday.
Everybody healthy and doing good, or you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm the only one out of me, my wife, and the baby who wasn't a patient in the hospital. So
yeah, right.
You know, they're both kind of coming out of it, still recovering a bit, but both are doing well. Recovery's right on track. So it's just meant a few sleepless nights for me, which I don't mind.
It's no problem, man. This isn't the first one for you guys, is it?
This is number one. This is number uno.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you, man. It is so cool. Did you get to be in the room? Like, were you in there when she was having the baby?
I was in the room where it happened. Yeah, I was like a character out of Hamilton. I was right there as it was going on. It was pretty intense. Tried to keep my game face on. My wife handled it like a champ, and I had a new son before I knew what happened.
Now, is he a little ant? Is he little ant? Because we got big ant. Is he little ant?
You know what? There were a lot of suggestions with folks saying maybe we should go the junior route, like Anthony Jr. Decided not to do that. You know, I figured for kid number one, let's let him maybe have kind of his own identity. I don't want anybody feeling like I'm casting my shadow over my son or anything. So we went with the name Bishop Keenan Heron.
Wow.
So you can call him BK Heron. You can call him Bishop. You can still call him Little Ant if you want. And actually, we didn't know the gender of the baby going in. So we've just been going with the nickname Jelly Bean up until he popped out.
And they look like jelly beans when they come out. I did that 9 times, and I was always at my wife's head end of the deal. I didn't want to go down to the business end. I'm like, I got a doc down there. I'll let him, you know, kids coming out looks like something out of Alien. You know what I mean? They come out and they all,
right.
You know, it's kind of crazy, man. It's weird. So I was always at the other end, like with my wife. I'd be like stroking her hair and have my hand under her neck, and she's screaming at me because I did this to her over and over and over again. But we didn't do the junior thing either. Although I do have one son that goes by the name Thomas. It's his middle name, but we, our family, we name them after the grandfather. So we like skip a generation. So my oldest son is Joseph Anthony, like my dad, and then his son is, you know, Thomas. So, you know, that's just kind of the way we roll.
I like it. Yeah, that's good. If we end up having 8 more, I think there's very likely to be some juniors in there somewhere, because I don't know how many names I really enjoy that aren't within my family already anyway.
That's cool, though, man. It's just nothing like it. You just... It's a miracle. It's really something to go through. I'm really happy for you and your crew. All right, now did you work a game last week, or you must have been off last weekend then if you were making a baby?
I was off last weekend. Stayed at home. Stayed here in Chicago. You know, knew there was going to be some recovery going on with mom and the baby.
Sure.
Certainly wasn't in the mood to part ways with either one of them over the weekend. And it ended up being late in the evening Wednesday, so. You know, I would have only been around for a couple of days before having to leave town. I am going to head out this Friday, you know, since mom's getting better and baby's doing well. So got some extra reinforcements on the way in, some family coming in from out of town, and my side of the family's here. So we got a good support system that's going to be around. So I'm going to head out Friday on my way to Tucson. Got a really good game this weekend, UCLA at Arizona, a couple of teams in the Pac-12 South. UCLA coming off a bye week. They had defeated Colorado the week before. In Arizona, I don't know if you saw Khalil Tate. Their quarterback ran for 327 yards, broke his BS quarterback rushing record. Still don't know, though, if he's going to get the start or if the previous starter who got hurt on a cheap shot the previous week, Brandon Dawkins, if he's going to be back in the lineup. Either way, two very dangerous quarterbacks who could be on the field for Rich Rodriguez. So it's going to be a very fun game Saturday night that I've got on the Pac-12 Network.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good one. And things are really starting to come into focus now. And you know, you saw that Arizona State team a couple of times, and they get Washington in there. And you know, they just better be careful is all I'm going to say. I know Washington's going to be a big favorite going in there, but they better be careful. Because, you know, the Arizona State team just kind of seems like they might be primed to do something here at some point.
Well, they're so talented. That's the thing. There's not a lot of teams in the Pac-12 conference who Arizona State is going to step on the field against and feel like they're outmanned or outmatched just from a sheer physical talent standpoint. They've got several receivers who are excellent. They've got a quarterback in Manny Wilkins who's playing the best football of his young career, one of these multidimensional talents that we love in the modern day. So they've got a defense with a lot of guys who can run. They're very fast on defense, and they play fast. They've got Phil Bennett, who was, you know, at Texas A&M for a number of years and was Baylor's defensive coordinator in some of the seasons where they actually played a little bit of defense there in Waco. And so Phil Bennett came in. He's made some slight adjustments to Todd Graham's defense, but they're still in attack mode. They still get after the opposing quarterback. They're still going to blitz like nobody's business. So it's going to be a matchup for Washington where facing that defense from Arizona State, I think that's going to be a challenge for the way that Arizona State just attacks the opponent. Is going to be on their quarterback, Jake Browning, who, if there's been anything that's really affected him in his career, it's been when you've got a secondary who doesn't mind doing some press man coverage on the back end and will bring additional rushes. So if they can beat up Jake Browning, that's going to be a tall task for Washington.
You know, we kind of wrote off Stanford, too, because, you know, of the losses early on. But here they are now, 3-1 in the league in the North, and they're just kind of looming. You know what I mean? They're just kind of hanging out over there, and you wonder now. They get Oregon this week, but you wonder what happens with Stanford if they continue. You know, Washington State, one of those two is going to lose a game, and they'll have their shots against those guys. So you just wonder whether or not there's still an outside chance that Stanford can slip into that Pac-12 championship game.
This season really has the makings of one of those Stanford seasons where by the end of it, they look like one of the best teams in the country, and just nobody realized it early on because they lost a game or two before they'd really rounded into form. But when you look at the coaching sort of tenure of David Shaw, it tends to be where his teams always get better in October and November. It's one of those things we say a lot and we sort of assume in the sport of football, but you've been around this a lot, Big Dog, where not all coaches are really great football teachers. Some guys are great motivators. Some guys are great at just pushing buttons at the right time or dialing up the right trick play. But as far as having their team improve throughout the season and really having the nuts and bolts of their scheme down and intact and you know, knowing the strengths and weaknesses of their players, that's one of the things David Shaw does really well. So Stanford, season in and season out, is always playing their best football in November. So despite having back-to-back losses a couple of weeks ago, it's still a team that, as you referenced, is right there in the North picture, in the championship picture. They're not in the college football playoff picture, though.
No.
And so they're the ones who could really spoil things for the Pac-12 as far as trying to make the college football playoff, because they're good enough to beat anyone, but they're not going to have a resume to get them into the Final Four.
A team that hasn't been improving, you know, over the last couple of years is Oregon State, and we got the sudden resignation of Gary Anderson, a fine, fine man, just a quality man in the coaching business. I was stunned when he left the Wisconsin gig to go out to Oregon State, doesn't get it done there, works out a deal to basically mutually with the school, gives up a whole pile of money, you know, basically saying, look, I can't win here. Can anybody win there then? I mean, is that a situation there? Is it an indictment on Gary Anderson or is it an indictment on the program?
Well, I think the part that it's an indictment on the program is that, you know, whatever level of impatience led them to this impasse, because this wasn't something that I believe would have been initiated by Gary Anderson and saying that I personally would like to walk away. And, you know, I haven't spoken to the folks in Corvallis in depth enough yet because this is still a fresh wound for them. So I'm not personally getting, you know, some of the inside dope like I'm going to have a couple of weeks from now if we discuss this again and I have the opportunity to really talk in detail with some of the folks there. But, you know, I just called an Oregon State game the week before last. I was just there in Corvallis. I was just sitting down with Gary Anderson in his office. And one of the things he talks about so much, and a lot of coaches pay lip service to the relationships they develop with their players. But, you know, I could run through so many examples of how Gary Anderson, not just at Oregon State, but at Wisconsin, at Utah State, when he's been a head coach and he's had opportunities to do things like we've seen other coaches do where, you know, maybe a player wants to transfer, like his backup quarterback from this season, Marcus McMarion. And a lot of coaches say, no, you know, you have to stay put. You have to be right here. Or maybe they say, I'm not actually going to make the determination of who my starting quarterback is until the week of the game when it's too late for you to transfer. He didn't do that. He knew he had a guy in Jake Luton who came in. He was going to name Jake Luton the starter, did that after the spring, gave Marcus McMarion an opportunity to transfer, even though that hurt his depth at the quarterback position. He'd done that at multiple stops. He's had guys like Seth Collins, who, you know, was a former quarterback for him, moved to wide receiver, suffered from bacterial meningitis and felt like he was going to die for a little while. And Gary Anderson's with him in the hospital. They're crying together. Hearing these stories from Anderson, from his players who've been with him, you mentioned him being one of the good guys in college football. It's a legitimate thing with him. He's a person who places a high importance, a high value on his character, on how he's viewed by that program, and the fact that he would leave over $12 million on the table just by the fact that he says, you know what, I've got a relationship with his athletic director, and I don't feel like I've held up my end of the bargain. So if you want me to go, let's have some discussions about how I think things should work as I exit, but I'm willing to leave that much money on the table for us to have a conscious uncoupling. It's just unprecedented. You don't see coaches nowadays doing things like Gary Anderson's done it.
Anthony Herron has been our guest, a new dad. Congratulations on that, Big Ant. I appreciate you so much, and we'll look forward to catching up next week when your kid by then, you know, with your athletic ability and background, it'd probably be walking next week, next couple of weeks maybe. Probably, you know, be trucking around a little bit.
You know what I need to do? I'm going to tweet out a photo. I'm not going to be one of these guys, I don't think, that's tweeting a picture of my kid every other day. I'm just kind of that's not how I'm wired with social media, but I should tweet out a photo. My son's actually already holding his bottle by himself.
Good job by him.
I took a photo of him. I'm holding him. He's holding the bottle. So I don't know. Pretty soon, he'll probably be raising me.
Yeah, baby ant, man. There's nothing like a little baby ant being out there. All right. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk next week.
Big diggity. Appreciate you, brother.
All right. Anthony Herron. Ain't nothing like it. I recommend everybody does it once or twice or three times. Nine, not so much. All right, when we come back, we'll get our first update with T-Mac right here at 730-1039, The Ump. Well, let's get a little update with T-Mac. I wonder if he heard that the U.S. did not qualify for the World Cup. I don't know. Let's find out. We call this a Doghouse Sports Report.
Well, how about that, Big Dog? That's news to me. I think that's the first time the United States men's soccer team has failed to qualify for the World Cup since 1986, I believe. So how about that? Swallow that however you like. The Minnesota Timberwolves and their star small forward Andrew Wiggins have agreed to a five-year, $146 million extension. This going to be Andrew Wiggins' only his fourth year in the league. The 22-year-old is coming off his best statistical season in his young career with 23.6 points, 2.3 assists, and 4 rebounds per game. The Timberwolves are looking to be much improved after the addition of all-star Jimmy Butler. The Nats have finally decided on a starting pitcher for today's game. Four that has been rescheduled from yesterday to this afternoon against the Cubs in the NLDS. Steven Strasburg will be on the mound this afternoon, despite manager Dusty Baker saying he was too sick to pitch, but Strasburg showed up today feeling much better, so he gets the start. D3 college football program Albright has dismissed their backup quarterback Guyree Durant for kneeling by himself for the national anthem before their game on Saturday. According to a note passed along by school spokesperson, the football team made a team-wide decision to kneel before the coin toss but stand during the anthem. Durant decided to kneel anyway, so he's out of here. The note did say that, added the last part. And finally, the New York Giants have suspended cornerback Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, according to head coach Ben McAdoo. Rogers-Cromartie got into a spat with the head coach on the sideline during Sunday's loss against the Chargers about playing. I handled it the wrong way, but to sit me a game had me so hot that I left. Rogers-Cromartie, always keeping it real. I'm Tony Mack. That is your Doghouse Sports Report. You can't make this stuff up, man.
Well, he's a guy at the end of his career.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, Ben McAdoo is scrambling as well.
Badly.
Well, this is a classic sign of an organization that's coming apart at the seams, but also an organization that's had tremendous loyalty to their coaches. You wonder whether or not, in this case, McAdoo can survive all of that. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Chris Cotillo will join us as they're getting ready to start some baseball in Chicago as well. Plus, the Red Sox are looking for a new manager and a big Game 5 tonight in Cleveland. So we'll cover all of that with Chris Cotillo next. Talking a great American sport, baseball, right after this on 730-1039 AM.